You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Biden's anti-police crusade must stop. It's got to stop. It's got to stop now. Furthermore, the corporations, these poor, stupid people that run the, you know, they get paid a lot of money. They're weak, ineffective people, let's face it. They're funding anti-police organizations and other organizations that are, it's so embarrassing. And I don't mean for a little. Like, they gave $100 million and $250 million. You're talking about serious money. You're talking about serious money, and that money is not used for good reasons. You should give money to the families of the crime victims and the fallen officers. That's what they should do.
September the 14th, 2020. Those are the words of President Trump last night at a rally in Nevada. An indoor rally, which the Nevada governor protested and didn't want to have happen. Many in the rally had masks on, not everyone. But President Trump pointing out all this money being donated to social justice causes by whatever name you want to put on them, be it BLM or any other name, he's saying rather than dumping all that money into that as these corporations, as I have said, they're being extorted because if they don't do something and show the money, they will be labeled racist. They will be labeled racist. But he says if you're going to give the money, why don't you give it to the victims of crime and police officers shot down the line of duty in their families? That's not just a racial point. Those who were victims of crime, be it leaving them with some permanent injuries and or death in their family, without a wage earner left, and I'm talking about crimes inside an inner neighborhood, a child shot by gangs going down a street shooting at each other. Why don't you start putting money into those communities and those instances? And this is where, if I had no other objections to BLM, this is a key point for me. Out of the millions upon millions of dollars BLM has collected, they're putting it into political campaigns and who knows where else it's going. But I don't see a dime being spent in the communities of color that need help. Why don't they do that? Why don't they go in and support local businesses? Why don't they help those that are struggling? Why don't they help solve some of the issue about homelessness? No, because it's pushing a political agenda. That's not going to help us. It's not going to help us do anything. And Joe Biden was one of the first to jump on after the shooting of two police officers, sheriff's deputies in L.A. to jump on and say, we need more gun control. We need to get rid of, quote, assault rifles and multi-clips. The shooter of those two deputies in L.A. was using a semi-automatic pistol. I don't know how many, it was a regular clip, whatever. I don't know how many had loaded. It looked like 6-plus shots fired. Shooting them in the head while they were just sitting there, just simply walked up. Now, was that a gain ritual to try to make his bones with the local group? Or was it because of hate that's been intensifying, labeling all police officers as bad? Do you really think all police officers are bad? Are you one of the ones who think all black people are bad? You shouldn't. You cannot judge anyone or their group based on incidents involving a few. Do you have any idea how many contacts police officers of all colors have with minorities across the nation on a daily basis, much less a monthly or annual basis, and how many actually involve any shootings? And among those, how many are either justified and are questionable? And then, of course, how many cops were acting like cowboys instead of being law enforcement? Those are the issues. That's what you want to deal with. We got a lot to cover over the next 2 hours. We're going to spend a lot of time on that, and of course they continue looking for the gunman in this shooting of two sheriff's deputies. A $100,000 reward. There will be somebody coming forward once they know their identity will be protected. If folks are going to break and loot and steal a pair of shoes, they will take $100,000 for giving information. That plus we'll discuss the NFL protest. Are you watching football or not? We do have a lot to cover. Let your family and friends know we are on the air. We are going to keep you glued to this station for the next 2 hours. You do not want to miss any of it. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
So are you ready to get out from the COVID-19 scare? We might still need to be careful in some areas. I do encourage businesses to make sure your facility is clear of COVID-19. And of course, if you open up and then a client or an employee or someone else surfaces with COVID-19, you need to reevaluate what's going on. I would encourage you to contact Wellington Environmental. They can determine at a very reasonable cost what you need to do before you open, once you are open, and as you move forward. It just makes good sense, doesn't it? Wellington Environmental, for 30 years, has been treating situations at hospitals, schools, daycare centers, private homes. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington Environmental. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beale Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beale, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
I am flesh and I am bone. Rise up, ting, ting, like glitter and gold. I got fire in my soul. Rise up, ting, ting, like glitter. Like glitter and gold. Like glitter. Do you walk in the Valley of Kings?
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
The suspect approached them from behind as the deputies were facing southbound in their patrol vehicle. Suspect came from the north. He walked along the passenger side of the car. He acted as if he was going to walk past the car, and then he made a left turn directly toward the car, raised a pistol, and fired several rounds inside of the vehicle, striking both of the sheriff's deputies. The suspect then fled on foot, northbound from the shooting scene and out of view. The deputies radioed for help.
That is the Sheriff's Homicide Department, the L.A. Sheriff's Department Homicide Chief, Kit Wagner, talking about the shooting of two officers guarding a transit line there to help citizens who ride the transit system in case they need help to save them from attacks or anything else. They're just sitting there. Well, the officers had to do something bad, didn't they? Didn't they do something? No, they were just sitting there. They've been on the force maybe 14 months. 14 months, which means they decided to join within the last 2 years. With all this stuff going on, they decided, I'm going to step up, I'm going to stand on the line because I think law and order is essential for the nation. And here they are sitting in their patrol unit. One, a 24-year-old man. The other is a 31-year-old woman and a mother. And this coward walked up, looking like he's going to walk past them, and then pulls out a pistol and opens fire. They had no chance to respond. Bullets flying in immediately, hitting both in the head. They are still alive, and it appears they are going to survive. amazingly enough. So did these officers have anything to do with any of the police violence anywhere in the nation at all? No, but they are wearing a badge, and that makes them an automatic target. Anybody would say, you know, I see all these black gangs running through and looting and burning and firing, so I'm just going to shoot a black. You had no reason to do that. You don't know what that person's done if they've done nothing. You cannot base a decision to attack or assault or kill based on someone's color, simply because of that color, nor upon their job. And do you imagine it's possible? I'm asking. We don't know who the guy is. The shooter, do you think at some point in his life, when he was either younger and or members of his family, have at some point called on police to help them when they were facing a dire situation? We don't know that for a fact, but I would suspect that someone along his family line might have been a situation where they were a victim of crime and they needed police to help them. But maybe not. But that still goes no excuse. There is a $100,000 reward being offered for information leading to this shooter, as I said in the opening. Some of these folks who are willing to break into stores and consider they have a right to steal during any kind of protest, turning it into a riot, that they have a right to steal because the company would be insured and they're going to get it what they want because they can't get it any other way. And it's not to get food for themselves. Oh, they might sell the item and maybe get money to buy food for their family. But the bottom line is, they think they just have a right to steal. No, you don't have a right to riot, nor steal, nor set fires. But that same kind of mentality of those who go along with that, you wave $100,000 in front of them, do you not think that some of them say, keep my name, make sure I'm protected and my name doesn't become public, I'll give you the guy. I want that $100,000. Of course, the other issue is some in the community might certainly know who he is, but they fear. They're fearsome. I mean, they are fearful, and understandably. It is very easy, folks, if you sit in a nice suburban area or urban area and you have a nice home and you got nice people around you, regardless of their color, and you know your police are doing a good job and everything's nice and safe in your neighborhood compared to areas where they put their children to bed with a lullaby, a gunshot some nights, and they put them under the bed so they don't get hit by being in the bed sometimes. That's a frightening situation. And if they speak out, they know the saying comes back around. Snitches get stitches. But it's a shame we have to even offer $100,000 to find the guy who tried to kill two police officers. All they were doing was sitting there when the shooter just opened fire on them. If you recall, after the Ferguson shooting involving Michael Brown, where the narrative and the lie started, hands up, don't shoot, which even the Justice Department under Eric Holder and under Obama finally decided there's nothing here, the officer acted properly. But then we had a couple of officers sitting in their car in New York in 2014. They were sitting in their car talking, young officers. They hadn't done anything to anyone at that point, and some coward comes on and opens fire on them. And the other day, earlier this year, an officer in Flatbush in New York City, hit with an ambush. He ended up surviving. The other day, another officer answers a door at his home, and a guy with an ice pick goes for him, almost takes his eye out. No one wants to be a target, and any officers on the street right now, they have to fear that, and their families have to worry about it, rightly so. And then in the midst of all of this, the reaction that took place at the hospital where these deputies were being treated, a crowd gathered and they blocked the hospital emergency room entrance because the deputies were inside being treated. They thought they had a right to go ahead and block that hospital entrance. Well, you know, there are other people that try to get to that emergency room. Possibly in that area, people of color who live close enough, if they need an emergency, now they have a hard time getting in, and or other emergency vehicles. Detroit Police Chief Craig points out, unfortunately, this is a new America.
Sadly, I'm not surprised. There are some that's part of this anarchist movement that spew hate. They incite violence. And so now taking it to the level of blocking emergency and entrances to a hospital, for others that might need immediate medical attention, is horrible. I got to tell you, the escalation of violence towards our men and women in uniform, I've not seen it like this in 44 years in this building.
It makes no difference, but I want to point out to you that the Detroit police chief is a black man, 44 years in law enforcement, and he's still there doing his job. And he's never seen anything like this. These protesters were outside, not just blocking the entrance, but yelling, "Death to the police, hope you die." In fact, saying, "I hope you effing die. It's so bad I cannot even begin to run it without so many beeps in, so we're not going to." They're using all kinds of curse words and everything else. A local faith leader who's at the hospital told one reporter protesters actually tried to get into the emergency room. Then they tried to get around, go in another area of the hospital. One man, one woman later arrested. One apparently a member of the press. Now, whether or not they were properly identified or if they were also violating whatever they'd been told to do. Listen, as a reporter, you don't think over the decades I had numerous times where if I didn't follow the instruction given, I could be arrested now. And if it was a lawful order, they're going to arrest me and they're going to be right to do so. But it's a mindset that's going on right now in the nation that is so bad. When you get folks yelling outside a hospital where two officers who were ambushed who had done nothing. You can't say, well, they shot a man innocently, be it white, black, yellow, red. They shot him down like a dog. Well, there's nothing in their passage says they've even been involved in any shootings on the force 14 months. You do know what this does, and you've got to keep this in mind. I will tell you this, every police officer out there has this in their mind. They're parked somewhere, and you want to walk over and tell them about something, or you just want to walk over and say hi. Even if you're walking over with a smile, if they can't see your hands, they may be drawing down on you because they don't know what your intention is. You're forcing paranoia to a high level, and if then someone is shot, and they didn't need to be shot, you're going to hear the cries again. I'm beside an officer the other day, last week, before all this happened. Every time I get a chance, I kind of wave and kind of tell officers, you know, thanks for the job, whatever. In fact, I walked into a service station last night, and an officer was on duty there just kind of walking around, just being there. I don't know if they'd had trouble or not. He was very polite and nice and everyone coming in, regardless of their color, their age, gender, just very nice and polite. Professional, but nice and polite. So the other day, last week, I pulled up beside an officer. And I can see he's staring ahead of where I just honked the horn lightly, had him turn and look at me. And he turned, he wasn't sure what to expect. And I just smiled, gave him a wave. And he just kind of gave me a little wave back as appreciation. And don't forget, we have a number of minority officers in every department, many departments, let me put it that way. But we've got the NAACP chapter president in L.A. I'm sorry, Greater Springfield. While the 24-year-old deputy man and the 31-year-old woman, also a mother, undergoing surgery, he takes to the tweet machine and writes, "There's no such thing as blue lives. Stop comparing your job with my life. Your career is a choice. My blackness isn't." Well, you're right about that, sir. You're absolutely right. They chose a career. You didn't have anything to do with you or being born, who you were born of, your race, your gender, or anything else. Now, he did go in and add, no one deserves to be unjustly murdered, police or citizens. But there is such a thing as blue lives. It's also such a thing as soon-to-be-born lives. Babies, I should say, that are alive, that are to be born. I don't want to get all into abortion issue. By the way, this identified as Bishop Talbert Swan III also drew criticism last month when the president's brother, Robert Trump, died, and what this pastor and president of the Springfield, Massachusetts branch of the NAACP put out, "Dear Grim Reaper, you took the wrong Trump." That's supposed to be funny. It is a mindset that we got to get control of. We don't want to be in this environment, do we? Regardless of your color, do you want this environment to continue like this? I want you to listen again to the police chief, the deputy's sheriff chief. Let me correct that. The sheriff, who is the L.A. sheriff, talking about the shooting that went down on two of his officers.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Two deputies who were ambushed by a gunman in a cowardly fashion. They are both critically injured, multiple gunshot wounds. They are currently being treated for at the hospital. So everyone, I want everyone to have a prayer for them, for their recovery. This is just a sober reminder that this is it's a dangerous job. And, actions, words have consequences, and our job does not get any easier because people don't like law enforcement. It's going to be a challenge day after day.
That is the L.A. County Sheriff, Alex Villanueva, talking about how challenging it is to be a police officer nowadays because of so much hate that's been brewing. Now, former Vice President Joe Biden, Democrat presidential nominee, did say, he said, let me get his exact quote. I want to make sure I give him credit for this thing. He called the shootings unconscionable and said the suspect should be brought to justice, said anyone who commits such an act of violence, quote, should be caught and punished. I want you to keep that in mind. Now, President Trump had already said, I want to see a fast trial for these kinds of things and the possibility of a death penalty for killing or targeting law enforcement. In fact, he added, animals that must be hit hard, talking about the shooter. Fast trial, death penalty for the killer, only way to stop this. But then Joe Biden also wanted to quickly make it a political opportunity to push gun control again. He said, weapons of war have no place in our communities. What is he calling a weapon of war now? That was a semi-automatic pistol, the same many of us carry on a regular basis as citizens, Second Amendment right. They said we need to ban assault weapons and high-capacity magazines. What exactly is that again? I know high-capacity magazine means it holds more than standard bullets. I think we know that. But assault weapons, we still don't know. And Biden insist that those bans would save lives. Well, that's not true. There's nothing to show that. The New York Times had reported in September 2014 when that issue was brought up originally. He said the very phrase assault weapon is a Democrat-invented myth. The Times suggesting Democrats created that moniker, assault weapons, to politically define a category of guns, giving the Clinton administration and Democrats like Biden the ability to claim they're getting tough on gun crime bans. The Washington Times quoted a University of Pennsylvania professor who is overseeing a Department of Justice National Institute on weapons shootings. He said, "We cannot clearly credit the ban with any of the nation's recent drop in gun violence. And indeed, there's been no discernible reduction in the lethality and injuriedness of gun violence." August 11, 2019, FBI crime stats, and I had this for you last year if you remember, showed more people were killed with hammers and clubs than killed with rifles of any kind. Hammers and clubs. Carpenters, you better get rid of those things. We find you carrying those around. We don't know what your intent is. Baseball bats might be included also. Some new surveys out on Biden and the Trump race. You don't want to miss this. Plus, new information about COVID and researchers saying it's been blown completely out of proportion in the minds of the public. Please stand by.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
So let's talk about some of this new survey information coming out. In the next hour, by the way, we are going to spend time, more time on the Bob Woodward book and response, where he interviewed President Trump. And, of course, they broke it last week. And Woodward claiming that here's a smoking gun. Here's a smoking gun that Trump was lying to the public and endangering lives. If Bob Woodward actually believed his own noise, he should have made that public right then, not hold it for months. He did the interview back in Feb. He held it for months to put it in his book. Well, anyway, we'll get into that later, next hour. A new national survey being released. Let me get the source on this thing, because I always want to make sure that you have the source. This is Fox News. Survey of likely voters between September 7th through the 10th. And it shows the Biden-Trump race is a five-point race after the conventions. And they said majorities of likely voters have a positive opinion of Biden and trust him over Trump on coronavirus. Well, I got some new information on coronavirus I'll share in a moment. And the majority of those likely voters have a greater trust over Biden when it comes to Supreme Court nominations and uniting the country. And that nudges the former vice president just over 50% in the presidential race. Again, this is a national survey. Again, according to this survey, both tickets have secured the backing of their key voting blocks. Biden leads among women, suburban voters, seniors, millennials, blacks, and Hispanics. Trump is ahead with men, whites, rural voters, veterans, white Catholics, and Gen Xers. So that's just one report, and that one being a Fox News. If it's done properly, by the way, they say the margin of error is plus minus 2.5 points, so when it shows Biden-Harris at 51% overall, if you're voting today, and Trump-Pence at 46%, there's still room for a mistake and still say that Biden wins. And again, when you talk about who do you think's doing the best or would do a better job on the economy, 51% say Trump, 46% say Biden. And this one is really confusing to me. Asking, who do you think would be a better job? Who do you trust to do a better job on law and order issues? 49% say Biden. 47% say Trump. Racial inequality, no surprise here. 53% believe that Biden would do better. Trump only 41%. Nearly 9 in 10 voters are concerned about unemployment. 8 in 10 about coronavirus. Just over 6 in 10 concerned with crime and violence. I've told you previously, if you're going to accept one survey and buy it wholly, then you have to accept almost all of them from that same source. I have a hard time believing that some of the numbers here, and as you know, I don't subscribe to any of them. I just relay them to you, so you make your decision. I don't push any of them on you. What I do often is point out Dr. Gerard Lamero, who had forecast in January 2016 that Trump would win the Republican nomination and then go on to win, beat Hillary. I had a hard time believing that till late August after the convention. But he was pointing out then, and I believe the surveys obviously showed it, they were not properly weighing their demographics. They were over-sampling Democrats and independents. And so that's why they came away with the numbers. And are folks lying, or not saying, or saying the wrong one, just to throw things off. Now, supposedly, the pollsters build that kind of stuff in, but who knows? Asking the voters in the same survey, what best describes the unrest in New York, Kenosha, and Portland? 48% said I'd call it riots. 40% say protest. I'm looking at a piece from New York Times coming out with another survey. That was a Fox survey. The latest New York Times Siena College poll shows Biden leading Trump in 4 important swing states. But it also showed how Biden could lose the election. Here's the next line from that article, written by Amir Afki of the New York Times. If the campaign is a referendum on the coronavirus, Trump will probably lose. Now, he goes on and states, the U.S. has suffered more than almost any other rich country. New outbreaks exploding this summer, Biden's lead grew to almost 10 percentage points. And then he adds this, but the other issue dominating the news in recent months, the combination of police violence, racial injustice, peaceful protests, and rising crime in many cities. It has potential to hurt both Trump and Biden in different ways. And so far, Biden has not managed to send voters a persuasive message that protects his vulnerabilities. He adds that the most surprising finding from the own New York Times Siena College poll was this. In 4 swing states, Minnesota, Nevada, New Hampshire, and Wisconsin, a larger share of the voters said addressing law and order is more important than addressing the coronavirus pandemic. Where do you stand on that? Again, they're saying that when you talk about law and order in those 4 swing states, that's more important than coronavirus. Minnesota, Nevada, New Hampshire, Wisconsin. This last weekend on a Harley ride, and we stopped in several places in Illinois. No one wearing masks. Sometimes the servers were, but everyone around them was without the mask. And yeah, there's been no breakout contributed, absolutely identified and attributed to the Sturgis bike rally back in August. And then we got this report coming out from the researchers. Let me get the source again. I always make sure I have the source. This is from the U.S. Centers for Disease Control, joining with a Franklin Templeton Gallup research poll, and it finds that Americans, quote, dramatically misunderstand the risk of deaths they face during the pandemic. Researchers found Americans overestimate the mortality rate for those aged 55 or younger. That's from the U.S. Center for Disease Control. For example, respondents estimated that those 44 or younger account for 30% of U.S. COVID-19 deaths. Age 44 and younger, 30% of the deaths. That's the speculation. 30%. The actual figure for that age group, 2.7%. In another part of the study, Americans estimating those aged 55 or older account for 57% of the deaths. The actual figure for those 55 or older is 92%. And if you want to call Trump out because you don't think he's been doing things properly, you cannot possibly ignore what Cuomo did in New York State and they did in New Jersey, sending COVID patients into nursing homes, making sure they kept them there. Those aged 55 or older, Americans estimated that will be 57% of the COVID deaths when in fact it's 92%. Then Americans who thought those 65 or older accounted for 40% of COVID-19 deaths, the actual figure, 80%. Well, let's don't forget to deal with the younger group, because that's a concern, obviously, in starting schools, getting things going. Colleges are now resuming some football, most of them. High schools in some areas not being allowed to have any kind of sports. In this survey, ages 18 to 24, 59% in that bracket said they fear significant health consequences and think that they are being hit hard. When in fact, the overall COVID-19 deaths in ages 18 to 24 is 0.1%. At last report, we've had 5.5 million confirmed cases, approaching 200,000 deaths. And while we're talking about this COVID as a political issue, trying to make himself relevant still, CBS Evening News anchor Dan Rather, former CBS News anchor, said what this presidential election is about whether the country's going to move in the direction of white supremacy or move more in the direction of multiracial constitutional republic based on freedom and democracy. Okay. And then he goes on to say, we'll find out how many in November, we'll find out how many people, quote, dumb enough to believe his words, Trump, when he says he didn't want to spread panic in the early days of the pandemic. He was using an excuse and a lie that he didn't want to spread panic. So says Dan Rather. We're going to get into this whole issue and Bob Woodward having that information and holding it for all those months if it was such a smoking gun in the next hour. We'll take a break. When we come back, let's address political activeness in sports.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So we now have started the NFL season. Have you been watching? Or are you going to watch? Of course, the first game was Thursday. It involved the Houston Texans and Kansas City Chiefs. At one end of the end zone, they had printed, I believe it was equality for all, something of that nature. At the other end, it takes all of us or something. And I don't have any problems with those. I have no issue whatsoever with that. But here's what did happen. The Kansas City Chiefs were on the field during a moment of silence dedicated to the ongoing fight for equality, as were the Houston Texans. But the Texans had not come on the field until after the national anthem, and the black anthem was played before that. And the Kansas City Stadium erupted in boos as the teams were gathering for this, as the announcer said, we're joining arms, dedicated to the ongoing fight for equality. Players standing arm in arm. J.J. Watts of Houston has done a lot for those suffering from hurricanes or anything else. I mean, the man is a man of faith. He has put his money and his efforts into helping others less fortunate. And I was upset that the Texans chose to hide out in the state, in the side of the stadium during the national anthem. They think they don't make a statement by doing that. You know, you make a statement. You make a statement if you don't go on the field, too. So don't think you don't. But after the game, J.J. Watt said, I don't know what the booing was about. He said, the booing was unfortunate during that moment, talking about when they were standing arm in arm. He said, I don't fully understand that. There was no flag involved, nothing involved with that besides two teams coming together to show unity. I am going to agree with J.J. Watt on that point, but the issue, the booing was not, in my perspective, and of course I can't speak for those who were booing or not booing, the booing was not against what they were doing as far as talking about equality, but it's been shoved into the face of sports fans on every sports venue over and over again, and they reached a point and said, we got it. We don't need to have that thrown in our face day in and day after in every sporting event. We come to the sport to watch the sport. When it came to the other game, the Miami Dolphins on Thursday night, the Miami Dolphins talking about their game against the England Patriots Sunday, said they would not take the field, said no more fluff and empty gestures. And again, J.J. Watt is saying, I appreciate a locker room can bring people together from different worlds. He said, I've learned this, Texans, we discuss social justice issues that dominate the sports world in recent months. He said, he points out, a locker room is a very diverse place, people from all different backgrounds, different situations. He said, I've been fortunate to be a part of locker rooms throughout my life, and in this locker room, we've had more conversations than ever about topics that might be uncomfortable to talk about. Many never open up about it. He said, for me, I've learned a lot. I've been educated a lot. It's been a growing experience. I think we've come a lot closer because of it. Well, that's good. That is good because there's nothing wrong with us talking and understanding and broadening your horizon. Again, I don't know why the crowd was booing. And not all of them did. Simply as the players joined arms in arm. Watts was saying again, he thought that was booing against equality, calling for equality. If anyone was booing because of not wanting equality in our nation, shame on them. If they're booing because they said, enough of this stuff in our sports game, just can't play the game, quit shoving it in our face, we got the message, then I understand that. I also understand why many places over the weekend, wherever I went, you did not find the football game on at all. You might find the tennis match on. And I got to tell you, you walk into a biker bar and they got tennis on, you think, what? Well, because they're not going to show NFL. And I have mentioned to you previously how many Cardinals fans have said, I'm done with them because they kowtowed and put BLM on the pitcher's mound. I think what the football teams are doing now in the sense of not putting BLM on the field, they're just saying equality for all, it takes all of us together. I'm all for that. But don't give sign, credence, and significance to BLM. There are too many things going wrong with that right now, and too many people are being misled. The day that BLM starts taking all of its millions it's got and going into these communities and giving to the people that are suffering in these communities, then I will believe them. And the day they stand and are in awe and suffering because of a black police officer shot and killed while on duty, as we had in St. Louis the other day, then I will also give them additional credit. But right now, they're not doing what they say they're for. Black lives matter. All lives matter. It never should be an argument. But I understand where they were trying to go if you want to accept that it was a legit issue and not a push to Marxism. That's your choice to make your decision. next hour. More about this shooting of the two sheriff's deputies in L.A. and the Bob Woodward book. That'll be coming up next hour.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.